This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
What are you drinking? Vinny. Cake bread. Chardonnay. Haney. Mick Ultra. Vinny and Haney. 105.7. The Fan.
Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw's other side of the glass. Legal tampering a week from today. League year starts the 12th in the NFL. Orioles taking on the Red Sox. Felix Bautista makes his spring debut later on this afternoon. We'll have you covered with the score and the delayed, if you will, highlights of said game. I'll do my best, Chuck Thompson, as time permits. Terps win on Saturday. Wasn't pretty, but it's a win. It's all that matters. Tank Davis, he didn't win, he didn't lose. I don't know what the hell is going on there, but here to talk about Ravens and maybe a Tank thought real quick because he's the boxing writer for the Baltimore Sun. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show, Childs Walker. Childs, good morning. Before we get to the Ravens, and in particular, start off Ronnie Stanley. Tank Davis to fight Lamont Roach Jr. Took a knee. Then he got his face wiped off. All sorts of ring apron violations. Majority draw. You know, it had its moments of excitement, but, you know, controversy yet again in boxing. What a stunner.
Yeah, that turned really weird, didn't it?
I was like, what the hell's going on?
It almost seemed like he was... It seemed like he got flustered, certainly in that round, but I thought over the last few rounds, and maybe it was the stuff getting into his eyes, maybe it was the fact that that's around the time in a fight where he's sort of used to solving the other guy, right? I mean, that's usually when he's you know, setting up the big punch that's going to end the fight, and that's never happened here. I mean, he was never able to crack the code of Lamont Roach, who was very tough and very game. And, you know, every time Tank would pop him, I mean, you know, Roach would fire right back and, you know, even, you know, knock the back step a couple of times. So ultimately, you know, I think a draw is pretty reflective of the nature of the fight. It was an extremely close fight. You know, we can say that Roach was robbed by the fact that, you know, Tank should have lost a point for taking that knee, which he absolutely should have.
Right.
But I mean, it was a very even fight, and you know, it seems like we're likely to see it again. Both guys said they wanted it, and I thought it was compelling enough that a rematch would be interesting.
Childs, when we heard Eric talk at the combine about Ronnie Stanley, it seemed like he was very, very calm. I mean, it seemed to me that after listening to that, it sounded like they already had kind of an agreement in place. But then I read today about, you know, the Patriots. You know, if Ronnie makes it to free agency, then the Patriots are going to get in on it. What do you think?
Yeah, I've been through sort of the same cycle with it. I was actually I was surprised how definitive he and John both were. Mm-hmm. When they talked to the combine, almost treating it as if it was done already, as if it was a fait accompli. But then they didn't come to a deal in Indianapolis. I mean, the vibes still seem good. I mean, the league still seems to believe that he's going to go back to the Ravens and that they're willing to pay a pretty big ticket for him. But it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel as certain today as their words sounded last week. I mean, if I had to predict, I would predict that he's going to be here because, I mean, they seem to have decided that's the big move that they need to make for the offseason, really, is getting him back. That's the one thing they're not confident that they could deal with any other way. So, I mean, I still think they find a way to get it done. But, it feels a little more open in terms of what you're hearing around the league today than it did middle of last week.
Well, Childs, you know what? Just sitting here thinking is like, because if they're going to pay him $22 million or whatever, I mean, you always got the franchise tag. I mean, you know, it's only a couple million more than, you know, what they're listing as price for him. So, I mean, if need be, they could franchise him.
They could. You're right. And it's interesting. I mean, that really has not come up in the conversation around him until right now. But, I mean, it certainly is a tool for extending their window to deal with the situation. So obviously players don't like to get franchised. So, I mean, you never know for sure what that's going to do to negotiations. But, I mean, you're right. Just in terms of the sticker price,
mm-hmm.
you would think the tool might be there for them. What kind of market there will be for him, I think, is still you just hear. I've heard all kinds of different things about what the market for him might be. I mean, you know, obviously, I saw the Patriots thing. At the same time, there are other people who are saying that they still think his injury history will depress the price to some degree. So it's hard to get a good solid read on where that is.
Now, Childs, another guy that we haven't heard anything about. What's going on with Patrick Ricard? Because I would think that they would want him back, you know, to run it through again.
I would too. I mean, I've thought all along that he'll be back. Just because, look, how many other teams are there out there that are, you know, for which he's the fifth that he is here. I mean, and you know, DeCosta said sort of matter of factly at the season ending press conference, you know, we've gotten deals done with Patrick before, and you know he sounded pretty confident that'll happen again. And again, that would still be my expectation because I just don't see like a wide, robust argument for Ricard. I mean, market for Ricard, you know, despite how important a player he is here. And I mean, I don't know that they need him, but why go forward without him if you don't need to? I mean, the price isn't going to be that high, right? It's not going to be prohibitive. So it still makes too much sense for him to be back here.
Childs, now, other than that, other than Ronnie and Ricard, any other free agent in my mind, like Eric's, right player, right price. I'm not overpaying for anybody else.
You mean any of their
free agents?
Existing free agents, yeah. No, I agree with that. And, you know, I think there's a good chance that you see McCary leave for that reason, which is a shame because, I mean, he's been very valuable to them and mm-hmm. was obviously extremely valuable to them last year, you know, was really able to give them a full season as an average to above average starter, which, you know, there were concerns as to whether or not his body would hold up to that. And it did. But if they do, if they get Ronnie, I don't see how they could also pay McCary a starting guard salary. That just seems prohibitive. And, you know, you could have questions about Voorhees. I know that, you know, this, John Harbaugh spoke highly of sort of how Voorhees developed over the course of the season. He was happy with where he was at the end of last season. So you at least have an option there if McCary leaves. But I agree with you. I mean, they cannot afford to get into bidding wars on anybody else if they do Ronnie.
Childs Walker, Baltimore Sun, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Childs, break out the crystal ball, if you don't mind. And Mark Andrews, Justin Tucker. Let's look ahead to September of 2025. Most likely to be wearing a Ravens uniform in that game against opponent to be determined at date venue to be determined.
Are we doing a verdict on each one?
Yes. Most okay. likely to be a Raven in September of 2025.
The Mark Andrews thing is fascinating to me. To me, in a way, that was the most interesting answer that Eric DeCosta gave at the Combine because you really could read it either way. I mean, he continues to talk about thinking Mark Andrews is going to have a great year this year, and you know we're so happy we have him under contract. We don't have to make a decision right away. At the same time, he he said some things that made it sound like he was talking about a player who has wrapped up his time with the Ravens. I mean, he was sort of celebrating his legacy with the team and talking about how he's going to be a Ring of Honor guy. So you could really read that either way. I mean, you could certainly read it as a, hey, this guy's available in trade if you guys want to come get him. So I don't know on that one. I would lean slightly toward him being back just because he's an important player. He's under contract. You could put that decision off for a year if you have to. Tucker, that's just a much more complicated situation to talk about, obviously. I mean, there's a lot to play out there. They've made it very clear they're not going to act until the league acts. There's a lot of shoes to fall. You know, maybe more information to come out there. We don't know. I would lean toward guessing he won't be their kicker next year because it's hard to see a scenario where he wouldn't face some sort of NFL discipline. And then, you know, do you wait around for a kicker when you can, you know, maybe go and get a guy in the draft this spring? But it's so hard to make a decision, you know, to make a prediction in that situation because it's just such a messy situation with so many unknowns still.
Childs Walker, Baltimore Sun. Childs, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. We'll catch up with you next week. How's that?
Thanks, Childs.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There's Childs Walker, everyone. And hey, look, I think the league's going to drop the hammer on Tucker. So if I was predicting, I'm thinking Andrews will be there opening day.
I'm right there with you.
And insert kicker here for the Ravens. We'll come back, whip around, busy weekend in the world of sports, talk about that and some historic stuff from Maryland hoops. And Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com, bracketology, still has Maryland in 7. What's up with the Terps? How come no? Where's the 5 seed, Jerry Palm?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and 3-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Biddy and Haney's Whip.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, time for the whip around. Biddy and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Biddy Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Hear more from him when we get to the Funhouse later on in the hour. Orioles lineup against Boston. Cedric Mullins, center field. Adley Rutschman behind the plate. Tyler O'Neill dealing with an illness over the weekend. He's back in left field. Ryan O'Hearn cleaning up in right field. Ryan Mountcastle's at first. Heston Kerstad, your DH. Ramon Arias is at third base. Vimael Machine is at second base. And Luis Vasquez is your shortstop. Charlie Morton starting for the Orioles today. Tomoyuki Sugano will pitch as well as Felix Bautista. Get to see him for the first time in a long time. Also, Brandon Hyde said Jordan Westberg getting closer to baseball activities, and Gunnar Henderson feels a lot better. Well, so two guys been out for a minute there. Westberg has been in the lineup since what, spring opener? Going back almost 2 weeks here. So good news there. Terps win on Saturday at Penn State. But yesterday in the Big Ten, Michigan State, number 8 in the country, hosting number 11, Wisconsin. It was an entertaining game, but in the end, Sparty gets the best of the Badgers.
Here we go, upstairs. Holloman and it's Carr. He may be the most electrifying leaper in the country.
Well, Maryland saw that last Wednesday, as a matter of fact. Alley-oop there to Carr, 71-62. Michigan State pulls away in the second half to beat the Badgers. Spartans right now, pretty strong situation at the top of the Big Ten standings. Now, number 15, Michigan, was in that same spot, too, chasing the Sparty. But Illinois got them, 93-73, outscoring Michigan, the Wolverines, at home by 19 in the second half. Maryland will be at Ann Arbor on Wednesday night, 6:30. We'll have Kevin Willard on tomorrow to preview that game. Number 18, Memphis beat UAB 88-81. That was your other top 25 matchup yesterday. NBA, Indiana 127-112 over the Bulls as the Pacers handle their business. Tyrese Halliburton, 17 points, 5 boards, 12 assists. Jalen Smith, University of Maryland, Mount St. Joe, 10.6 boards, 2 assists in the loss for Chicago. Kevin Herter did not play, dealing with a sore knee for the Bulls there. The Knicks come from behind to beat Miami in overtime, 116-112. Jalen Brunson, who's been outstanding for 2 years. Well, he's been a beast for a couple seasons now. 31 points, Haywood Highsmith, Archbishop Curley, Baltimore, 8 points, 2 boards, and an assist for Miami. It was Toronto beating Orlando, 104-102. Emmanuel Quickley, Baltimore zone. He had 24-2-4. OKC in a fight-filled melee extravaganza. High-scoring game, too, with San Antonio, 146-32. As they handle their business, Jalen Williams, career-high 41 for the Thunder. Aaron Wiggins, University of Maryland, he had 17 points as his second half of awesomeness continues on. It was Minnesota 116-98 over Phoenix. Kevin Durant said, "We suck." Embarrassed.
Yeah.
That Ishbia spent a lot of dough. He's trying to buy the White Sox, I saw. The
is
owner
really?
Of the Suns, yeah. Things have not worked out in Phoenix.
Oh, he's
for
the
him.
Michigan State guy, right?
Oh, yeah. Played for old Izzo there. But it was, let's see here, Ant-Man for the T-Wolves had 44. Damian Lee had a rebound in a couple of minutes of work for the Suns. Baltimore, Calvert Hall. Lakers in the Battle of L.A., 108-102 over the Clips. Luka Doncic had 29 rather. 6 points, 9 assists. Alex Len, Vinny.
DNP.
Impact has been minimal. He's just a tall guy that helps in practice.
Yeah.
Kind of been that way. Hey, look, dude was a 5th overall pick. He's made a few million bucks. I ain't mad at him. University of Maryland, do what you got to do. We talked about this. Tank Davis, majority draw. Lamont Rhodes Jr. Saturday in Brooklyn. Do they run it back? We'll see. Tank was talking about retirement before the fight. Now he said he's got 4 more in him, so we'll see. But took a knee in the 9th. Should have been a knockdown. Then the ring. It was a comedy of errors. Check it out on YouTube if you choose to do so. It's Vinny Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Whip around in the NHL. The Caps tonight taking on Ottawa. 30-25 and 4-6-30 puck drop down to D.C. The Caps, they lost 3 in a row all of a sudden.
Yeah, they're struggling. Offensively, they're not playing that good. You know, Ovi got a goal Saturday, so he's 10 behind. That was the only thing that was...
I was late, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, third period. We were down 2-0. The Caps, they're in a little bit of a slide. I mean, because they came out of the break, scored 15 goals in those 2 games. Now they've stunk it up the last 3. So they need to find a way to win tonight against Ottawa because they're going to hit out on the road pretty quick here.
Maryland women stun Ohio State. 3-pointer, 1 second left down at College Park. And in men's lacrosse, number 2 Maryland beat number 1 Notre Dame on Saturday down in Georgia. So expect the Terps to be ranked number 1 this
nice.
Week in men's lacrosse. And we'll talk more about that in a couple of days. Damon Evans, athletic director of the University of Maryland. This day in sports history, yes, it's March 3rd, all of a sudden, 1983 at Old Reynolds Coliseum, Maryland. Men's college basketball beat NC State 67-58. Adrian Branch had 17. Why is he not Raptors? Maryland people, make this happen. Scored over 2,000 points. What are you doing? Ben Coleman, 15-9. Len Bias, freshman forward, had 12. Maryland sweeps NC State. And this was March 3rd, 1983. In less than a month, NC State will win the national championship.
Wow.
And Maryland pulled their pants down and spanked that ass twice that year. But Valvano, famous memory, running around trying to hug somebody.
Yeah.
Looking for anyone to hug. Yeah, but Maryland got him twice that year. And Terps Hoops, 2001, Coalfield House. 16th-ranked Maryland blows out number 7, Virginia. 102-67. Juan Dixon had 21. Drew Nicholas, 16. Lonnie Baxter, 15. Danny Miller and Terrence Morris on senior night both had 14 each as the Terps handled their business against the Cavaliers on their way to the Final Four that season. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll talk about this year's Final Four, where Maryland might fit in, with Jerry Palm from CBSSports.com. We'll take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw coming up. Top of the hour, news from the Nest. The Ravens have 18 unrestricted free agents. Sounds like Ronnie Stanley's staying, or is he? It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. Busy weekend of sports. We've talked about it. I mean, Combine's done. Now it's illegal tampering a week from today. Terps win at Penn State. Orioles taking on the Red Sox. Felix Bautista makes his spring debut later on in the afternoon. Tank Davis, Baltimore zone, took a knee, didn't get rolled a knockdown. He got a majority draw against Lamont Roach Jr., who went to the University of Maryland because he's from the D.C. area. So all sorts of zaniness is happening, but less in 2 weeks, Selection Sunday. And here to talk about that, he is on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show from CBSSports.com, Jerry Palm. Jerry, good morning. How are you feeling today?
I'm all right. How are you?
Doing all right, and appreciate your time as always. Hey, look, Maryland's going to Michigan on Wednesday night. Illinois won there yesterday afternoon, outscoring them, what, by 19 in the second half. What do we make of the Fighting Illini here, ranked for most of the season? You know, they've had their issues. I know injuries have been a problem, but how do we view them, Jerry, with about a week plus before the Big Ten tournament?
Yeah, I mean, that was a big win for them because, you know, they haven't just dealt with injuries. They've dealt with, like, this malaise going through the team. They had, like, a flu outbreak in the team that was got to the point where they stopped going through the handshake line. They sure looked healthy and ready to go against Michigan. That was a really impressive performance, especially in the second half, and one that Illinois really needed to start to, you know, build some momentum now. I've had them kind of in the middle of the bracket, and, you know, that's a kind of win that moves them up a little bit. And then they get a week off, or the rest of the week off, and then play Purdue on Saturday. So, you know, it's a good time for them to get a break, given the kind of trouble they've had this season. But that looks more like the Illinois team we thought we'd see most of the year. And so maybe we will see that now going forward if they're, you know, all healthy and in one piece. We can maybe see the full Illinois abilities, their full capabilities going forward. And that's a team that once they get to the NCAA tournament might be underseeded because of the struggles they had when they weren't 100%.
Now, yeah, Maryland right now is a 7, and they won at Penn State. You know, it won a beautiful basketball display, but a win nonetheless after losing right on a 60-footer on Wednesday at home against Michigan State. Net rankings have Maryland, what is it, 12, I believe, this morning it was, Jerry. So others have Maryland as high as a 5 seed. You still have them as a 7. What are they not doing to move up in Jerry Palm's seed line here?
I just think they need higher quality wins. I mean, they beat Wisconsin, and they wanted Illinois. But, you know, they've got 6 quad one wins. Two of those teams are not in the bracket. One of them barely is, Indiana. Of their losses, you know, Ohio State, Northwestern, Washington, you know, not in the bracket. So I think their resume isn't quite as good as it looks. The predictive metrics like them because they win by – they're driven by average scoring margin primarily, which is a category in which Maryland does well. But the metrics that evaluate resumes have them in the 6-7 range. So – you know, when I'm looking at their resume and comparing them to others, Their strength of schedule, especially their non-conference schedule, has dragged them down a bit too, because they don't have not only as many like higher quality wins as some of the teams that they're competing with, they haven't played as many of those games.
Now, Jerry, Duke's, you know, they're number one in the net. Number one, you got them as a number one seed, and rightfully so, number two behind Auburn in the rankings. But talk about margin of victory. They're trouncing anyone that's in their wake, no pun intended, as they host Wake Forest tonight. As we sit here on March 3rd, are the Duke Blue Devils the best team in the country?
Well, it's either them or Auburn.
Right.
Those two, and Duke beat them in the regular season, for what that's worth. So you can certainly make a case for Duke. Auburn's going to be the number one overall seed, barring some sort of epic collapse, because of just the quality of the schedule they've played. I mean, it's just an unassailable mark. And Duke is just going to have to tank in order to not be a one seed themselves, although their margin is not as high because of the strength of their schedule. So if they go into a funk right now, it's going to hurt them more than it would, you know, Alabama or Houston, even certainly any of the SEC teams, because of the schedules that they've played and just the, in Auburn's case, an overwhelming number of quality wins. But I don't think anybody expects Duke to go in the tank anytime soon. You know, they look like a well-oiled machine. So if they have a problem, it's probably going to be health-related. You know, somebody gets hurt and now they're not the same team. But, yeah, Duke looks Auburn and Duke have separated themselves from the rest of the field, and there's no reason to think they're not going to be 1-2 on Selection Sunday.
Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Get to the Big 12. It's Houston. And look, Kelvin Sampson's had this team as a powerhouse last few years, a Final Four-level team for sure. Is this the best offensive team as we head into March that Sampson has had? I know they had some injuries at the end of last year heading into the tournament, but do they have the offensive wherewithal to get into a shootout if, in fact, it comes down to that in the tournament?
Yeah, you know, that would really be weird because Houston's defense is so good they rarely get into shootouts. But, yeah, I think they've got enough offense to do some damage this year and to carry the team if necessary, which, like I said, rarely is. It'll be an interesting test against Kansas tonight, which really needs this game badly because they have for the second year in a row, entered a late-season funk. So I don't know really what we're going to get from Kansas, but – you know, this is a team that, you know, they need it pretty badly. So, you know, Houston may get pushed tonight if Kansas comes out and plays with the level of desperation that they should.
Hey, Jared, is there a team in third seed or higher that could make a run at the national championship?
Third seed or higher. Yeah, I like Michigan State.
No, other way. I guess third seed and lower.
Oh, I'm sorry. Other direction. Yeah, that makes a lot more sense, doesn't it? let's see. Somebody like a four, huh? Well, I would normally go with somebody like Kentucky, but they're dinged up, so I don't think they're going to make a run. The actual talent to do it. Maybe Marquette. You know, I've got Marquette as a four, and, you know, the thing about Marquette is they're not real big, but they're fast. They're athletic, and they can shoot. So that always makes a team dangerous, I think. If I'm going to pick one, I think I'm going to go with them.
Got any seven seeds that can make it deep? No, I'm just joking. Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com. Real quick, Jerry.
You know, I mean, Maryland?
Yeah.
Maryland is dangerous.
Yeah. But I'm saying Sweet 16 or bust. Anything less than that is going to be uncivilized like the old deodorant commercial.
I really like Maryland's starting five. I don't know how deep they really are, but, you know, they've got, I mean, Queen's terrific. You know, he should be freshman of the year in the Big Ten if it's not Chase Richardson. But yeah, he's, you know, that's a guy that, you know, you can play around and through and, yeah, he's tremendous and they'll probably go as far as he can carry it.
Jerry, last thing for you, any idea what the Indiana situation is head coach wise? Is they're making a nice little run here to possibly get into the tournament? I hear Mick Cronin linked to them at UCLA. What's the intel on who's taking over that program?
Yeah, it's been kind of quiet around here. And I'm in Indiana. I don't know if your listeners know that, but Yeah, it, you know, obviously people like to throw names around. He would be obviously a good choice. He's a good coach. And he's coached in the Midwest before. He's never been in the Big Ten, I don't think, even as an assistant. Not that that matters. But, you know, Indiana people like their connections to Bob Knight. I don't know if Mick has a connection to Bob Knight. So that would really be sort of, I don't know if it's breaking with tradition necessarily, because I don't know that Tom Crean and Archie Miller did either. But, you know, that they do like those connections. Obviously, Dusty May is out. That was always everybody's first choice. So, but Mick Cronin, yeah, I've heard that name bounced around. Chris Beard is a name I hear a lot. He does have a connection tonight because he was with him at Texas Tech. But those are the two names I've heard the most, but I don't know that that really means anything.
Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com. Jerry, always great to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of your Monday, and we'll catch up with you soon.
All right, thanks.
All right, Selection Sunday in less than 2 weeks. We'll come back, reset for you. News from the desk coming out top of the hour. Talk about those 18 unrestricted Ravens free agents. Who stays, who goes? Buy or sell, 12:15. And we'll talk Orioles with Andy Koska from the Baltimore Banner. Hey, the massive dispute is settled. What does that mean moving forward? Buy or sell, let's count the early week money. We got Andy Koska from the Baltimore Banner. Talk some Orioles with him. Give you the Orioles lineup again as they get ready for Boston. NFL lunch, 1 o'clock. Debo Samuel's on the move from San Francisco to Washington. Chris Boombacha, USA Today. We'll talk some NFL with him. Combine is over. Legal tampering starts a week from today. So what teams with cap space are going to actually, you know, spend some of that dough?
Well, I think
Alex Kappa. Gonzo in Cincinnati.
Cincinnati's got a lot of money to spend. And I think Washington has a ton of money. New England's got a ton of money to spend. So it's going to be interesting. Because if you're a bad team, I don't know that you want to go get a bunch of free, especially if you're in a rebuild like New England. Are you going to, you know, I guess they need O linemen because they've got a quarterback, which is the biggest thing. They're a crappy team, but they found their quarterback. So, all right, so you got to build that offensive line around them. That's why the talk of Ronnie Stanley is so prevalent.
And getting back to the Bengals real quick, clearing up some dough, which is over 17 mil in cap space with Kappa being released. Maybe they are all in on keeping the band together.
Yeah, with Chase and Higgins and Hendrickson. Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of money, and your quarterback's already making a ton. But he did say, "Hey, I'll do whatever it takes to help out the cause here." Let's go to PT in Towson. PT, thanks for holding. What's happening,
guys? I watch as much hockey as I watch pro wrestling, but Charlie is lighting up the Nets, man. Congratulations! Obviously, he's playing great. I mean, every game he's either assist, goal, or both. And also, Vinny, congratulations on not getting locked up, hanging out with Dustin and Rashawn.
Well, Rashawn's fine. It's his crew.
I didn't sit with them. You know, I talked to him before, and I talked to him after.
Yeah. Right. Listen, in all sincerity, the first playoff game, if Dustin and Rashawn are not there, it's an injustice. We've got to have, you know, I'll buy the first round, and I'm a cheap guy, but I'll buy the first round to get those two into the first Oriole playoff game because we need that win, and those two are the kind of fans that really, truly make a difference. But my question is with you, Bob, and I'm kind of with Jerry. I mean, the Terps don't have a ton of, you know, they didn't have much of an at-a-conference schedule, and some of their wins are a little dicey. And where we disagree a little bit is if an ankle is sprained and there are going to be different officials in the NCAA tournament that might not play, because Queen is an exuberant young man. So, you know, a technical foul here, two bad reaches there. Next thing you know, you're counting on, you know, this bench who cannot score. You're giving them no time to establish any kind of confidence. That could really come back to bite them, don't you think, Bob?
Well, obviously it would, but, you know, that's their third game this year where they got nothing in conference from the bench on Saturday. You got to ride the hot hand with the starting five. Teams that don't have a lot of depth have made historically deep runs in the NCAA tournament. So, PT, I'm going to look at it this way. A year ago at this time, this was a no-hoper. Now we're trying to come up with excuses for why they won't do well in March Madness. They're third in the Big Ten right now. So let's enjoy what they've accomplished and see how things unfold in Ann Arbor on Wednesday night before we start already, you know, writing their obituary in the second round in March.
No, I don't want to be one of those kind of fans.
You are being one of those kind of fans.
stuff. I just think they should utilize the bench more. And
but what more can you extract from who comes off the bench? That's the question I'm asking you.
Early in the season, I definitely would have used the two big guys more, gotten them more time. In those games, you're winning by 30 points. And now, yeah, now I'm with you. At this point, you can't really use them. You got to go. I completely agree. At this point, go with a hot hand. I'm just saying, after, you know, I don't want to be one of these things. After the fact, oh, geez, he sprained an ankle, and that's why we lost. Oh, geez, he got three first half outs. That's why we lost. I don't want to hear about the excuses. I'm with you, man. Derek Queen's a he's a one-off. You know what I mean? I mean, it is what it is. I mean, Jerry just said it. I mean, you're not going to repeat that. You've got to make a run this year. I'm not, you know, I mean, it's been a great year, and Willa deserves a lot of credit. Like you've said, he brought in Rice. Rice wasn't a given, and he's having a great year, and he's done nothing but improve this year. But and he brought in Queen. I don't know the whole NIL deal. I'm sure that helped. But yeah, this is the opportunity to make a run, and you and I both agree there.
Yeah, oh, no doubt. Hey, PT, thanks for the call. And look, Kupari looked like he was going to be an asset. He got the flu, and he hasn't been the same since he came back from that illness a couple of weeks back. Let's bring old Nolan McGraw in. Nolan, what's happening?
Doing pretty good. I mean, yeah, this bench stuff, I'm kind of with you, Bob. I mean, there's really nothing. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're expecting more out of the Kuparis of the world, and I mean, Malachi Palmer got more run on Saturday. I mean, he's been here and there. I mean, it's just you're kind of arguing against the wall if you're looking to get more out of those guys.
And by the way, Wednesday night, Michigan's got 2 7-footers. So Queen and Reese are going to be up against it against the Wolverines, coming off a lashing at home yesterday by Illinois. So that's going to be a pretty heavyweight battle for sure.
Now, as far as foul trouble, because that is the one thing. All right, yeah, you're. Might find yourself in a situation where you're a little strapped and now you got to, you know, make do on the fly, maybe without one of your better players. And you look at Saturday's game where the fouls really started to rack up late. I don't think there was any moment watching that game where I was saying, oh, you know, this guy's getting fouled out or I'm really concerned about that, because that stuff really didn't come into the picture until maybe 2-3 minutes left in the game. And I thought, all right, they'll be able to get through here, no problem. But it maybe changes the way they play defensively. And as great of a team as Maryland is on defense, I would hate for them to be in any situation where a guy like a Julian Reese is saying, oh man, I got, you know, three fouls in my back pocket here. I can't go at this guy as aggressive as I would in a normal possession. It's kind of lingering in the back of your head.
Well,
but
to PT's point, you get to March Madness, referees who might not be familiar with your style of play. I go back to a Final Four in 07. It was Georgetown against Ohio State. It was Hibbert against Greg Oden. And right out of the gate, they called two quick fouls on Roy Hibbert. And that whole matchup was null and void right out of the gate. Billy Packer was like, we've spent the entire week building up this matchup, and this referee has just ruined it within the first minute and a half of the game. I mean, you have to let things kind of unfold and don't be over-officious. Because Saturday, the tech off of the Queen putback, they called the tech on Maryland. It's like, where'd that come from? Because he yelled, because he scored in traffic on four players? No, stay out of the equation. It's March basketball. People didn't spend money or watching on Big Ten Network to see you blow your whistle. Mm-hmm. One egregious. He didn't point his face or anything like that. He just yelled like everybody does.
And there's been times this year where I thought Queen kind of lingers there when he's hanging onto the rim.
Yeah, he gets demonstrative, too.
I'd like to see him let go a little bit earlier. But in that case on Saturday, it's a totally bogus call.
It was ridiculous. Nolan, we have time for Fun House. You want to wait till next hour?
We'll save it.
Let's do it. We'll come back. News from the Nest. Good to hear from Eric DaCosta. Talking about Ronnie Stanley last week, the Ravens have 18 unrestricted free agents. He's one of them. It appears as though he's sticking around. But if he stays, who goes? Patrick McCary, if Stanley's staying, he's got to be going, right?